I gotta say, this is, I assumed it was gonna be a big show. This has turned into a monumental show. Like, it's one thing to have Mark Giordano and Darcy Tucker, Marcellus Wiley. We got the Tat Man coming up in a couple of minutes for Yes Guy, No Guy. I'm sure there will be a debate who owns that. O owns a cat. Like, we got to save some material for the rest of the week. Like, that's my bigger concern.
And please stop with the nickname recommendation. Someone saying that I should be O Cat instead of O Dog now. Not happening.
That's true.
You're shutting the door on that one.
What was the cat's name again?
Hank.
See, that's the thing
that's
I have.
That's an awesome name.
It's tough, though. Like pet owners will name their pets like regular people's names. So you go over to my buddy's house and be like, yeah, that's Bruce over there. I'm like, we know a Bruce. So like my buddy decided like I'm going to name my dog Bruce.
Okay, so, but you know anybody named Hank? I don't.
I do.
Hank Zetterberg is the only guy I know.
Yeah, I guess Lundquist.
No one our age.
Yeah, and their names aren't even Hank. They're Henrik. It's right. Like, yeah, I don't know true. A Hank, man.
Hank Lundquist. I don't know.
I know, but there are animals with, like, people's names.
Yeah, that's what my wife wanted to do, people's name.
Okay.
It's tough. Tough.
COVID-19 has changed all of our lives, especially you, Jeff.
Exactly.
Mark Rowan for Brian Hayes for the next couple days. Noodles, O-Dog in a couple minutes, Jim Taddy, and Yes Guy, No Guy. And did you guys see that the report came out, I don't know, about an hour ago, that the MLB is proposing a 50-game schedule?
Like 50 now?
50. 50. And that players would be paid prorated, which is what they want, but they can do that if it's only 50 games. So you're only getting, you're essentially, it's like they're going to come and meet in the middle at some point. But the one stat that I saw was, to put it into perspective.
Well, didn't the players, Mark, just come back with 114?
Right.
And the Major League Baseball countered with 50.
50, but it would be a prorated salary, which is what the players want, but it's only 50 games.
Right.
So it's like, it's all, I don't know.
That's the negotiation, yeah. But you know what?
So they're going to play 82 games is what we're saying.
Yeah, but nothing is, like we said, nothing is coming out looking really good right now in a pandemic where there's, you know, race riots and there's all sorts of things going on. And, you know, Major League Baseball is on both sides. It doesn't look good. It's not a good look on them. And I get it. Mm-hmm. When there's labor unrest and all of this, like they didn't ask for the pandemic. This is just unfortunately dropped into everyone's lap. But they've got to find some common ground here. I disagreed as hard as I was on some of the players saying, well, I don't want to put myself at risk and I don't want to lose a bunch of money. I disagreed with the owner's counter proposal in adding or taking more money off when the players had already conceded. They have to find some common ground here. But it's going to get uglier before it gets better, and that's unfortunate because I think when you're looking at it, it's not the front and center story right now. I really, you know what, to be honest, as a casual fan, let me know if baseball's playing or not. It looks like we're going to have basketball. Looks like we're going to have hockey, and there's more things to worry about in the world right now than that battle, unfortunately.
How important do you think it is that the NHL gets out there first? Like, and it's obviously not first in the sense that, like, golf is going to be played, NASCAR is already up and running, but, like, out in front before baseball, before the NBA, because,
I don't think the popularity, it doesn't really matter to them. They don't compete. They're behind the eight ball as far as popularity with those two sports. I am impressed that Gary Bettman came out and had the initiative and was moving forward. I thought for sure that he was going to wait for Silver to make the first move, and then he could piggyback off it, much like the pause of the season, whatever they called it, that's what he did. And I thought that he was going to wait and see if something else could happen, but the NHL said, no, we're moving forward with this. We believe this is a good thing, and we can make it happen and keep everybody safe. So I was impressed with that. I thought for sure he would be looking to piggyback off of Adam Silver.
I agree. I think basketball's going to beat them because it wouldn't surprise me if the NHL – starts August 1st that Saturday, and it sounds like the NBA is going to be the 31st, so it'd be that Friday. So who knows, but I think it's 1st,
they're talking to start now?
No. If training camps can start no earlier than July 10th and you want a three-week training camp, where does that put you?
They got to do 10-day training camp. I'm sorry. Three weeks is a joke.
I'm just saying that's what they're talking about. That puts you to August 1st. That's just the calculations. It's not set in stone, but that's kind of what it seems like. We're going to probably have August hockey.
For those watching on TSN4, they can see that I have a piece of paper in front of me. I'm going to be a responsible host and just read this script that my producer, the Grappler, gave me. Our next guest, a vinyl lover, underpants enthusiast, broadcasting legend, Jim Taddy, joins us here on Overdrive. How are you, Jim?
Just let me adjust something. I'm fine. How are you?
Great.
Wow. Have you,
God, I missed this.
that laugh. I would ask if you've missed us, but the most, you know, our listeners and our audience on TSN4 want to know, really, have you missed O-Dog?
O-Dog keeps phoning me. Are you kidding me?
Get out of here, phoning you. How many times have I phoned you?
It's like a bad relative. He calls me every 2 days.
Oh, come on.
He keeps looking for new ideas. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're such a loser, Taddy. Every time I do call, you're like, thanks a lot for calling me. I really appreciate it. And now you try to sewer me on the radio and television, you loser. What?
I don't think I try. I think I do sewer you rather well.
Oh, right. Yeah,
don't forget, buddy. I took the broadcasting quiz, broadcast journalism quiz against you, and I beat you. So don't forget that.
Oh, it's like playing shootout with Rocket Richard. Jeez.
Wow.
What the heck was that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'd ask you how you're coping. It sounds like you're doing pretty well, though, Jim. The laugh is refreshing, I got to say.
Yeah.
It's been called many things. Now refreshing has been added to the list.
Okay.
All right. Well,
what have you been doing with yourself, Tatman?
Yeah.
Walking, pacing, thinking, sorting things out. And, of course, the stack right in front of me, the stack of unpaid invoices for trademark infringement. It's unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
That's not good.
Well, I will say this, Tatman. When I first started in broadcasting, I came up with this segment called Yes Guy, No Guy. Let's play the sting.
You know, I'm just a minute.
Yes Guy, No Guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, drivers and passengers, time now for the isolated edition of Yes Guy, No Guy. And by the way, O-Dog, your level of delusion is remarkable. I love that. This is the way, if I come back, I'm going to be Mr. Delusional. I'm just going to say anything that isn't true until people believe it. It's unbelievable.
I just want to also remind you that the term whatever guy is mine as well.
Yeah,
anything
guy
is mine, guy. So I got the TM trademark on it.
I have a slew of lawyers that are now dining on prime rib, thanks to me, that would disagree with you. But nonetheless.
Okay.
Are we all set?
Yeah, we're set.
By the way, Mark, I don't know how you put up with the lunacy that you do, but you should be commended for it.
Oh, thank you.
Do you have any yes guy, no guys for us, Tatman?
Of course, yeah. Okay, yes guy, no guy, number one. As we started our isolation, it was the death of the handshake, which will now turn into the rebirth of the brush cut. Yes guy, no guy.
Wow. I don't even understand that question.
Yeah, what the hell is he talking about?
What are you talking about,
Tatman? I'm talking about the new hairstyle will be... The crew cut, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but what did that have to do with the death of the handshake? I don't understand.
It's just a dumb yes guy, no guy. That's why this is my segment. Yeah. This is a joke.
Well, have you shaken any hands lately?
Yeah, no, I haven't. Okay, but I'm saying that's a dumb thing with the hairstyle, and I'm calling the whole operation a no guy.
Okay, well, whatever guy.
Okay.
I'm going yes guy because I believe... People at home have been cutting their own hair and saying, you know what, I can do this, and it's just right down to the wood, brush cut. So, you know, the only person I actually know that has what I guess would be called a brush cut is Dave Reed. Does Dave Reed, is that staff sergeant? Reeder has like a brush cut, I think, right? And he makes it look good because he's a big man, he's strong, and he's got the square jaw. Like, to me, the brush cut looks good on Dave Reed. It would look awful on me. Awful.
I'll go with yes guy.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I like it as O-Dog. I haven't had my haircut in 3 months. It's about to go into ponytail mode.
Really?
Very shortly.
Oh, I love it.
Love a pony on the tap, man. Love a pony. Why don't you? All right, here's one that you can actually understand.
Okay.
At least one NHLer is sent home after failing a physical when returning to his team? Yes guy, no guy.
Oh, an emphatic yes guy. That's going to happen. You know that.
I've got one.
Oh, great answer.
Wow. all of a sudden, I'm just answering now.
Well, yeah, this is us giving you yes guy, no
Any
guy.
Background on okay. that, Tatman?
Yeah.
Or just yes guy?
Here's one for you, Tatman. And I need an answer. I need a lengthy answer out of this.
Okay. Well, it's noodles, so you'll get a lengthy answer.
Yes. One of the Raps or the Leafs will have a first-round exit.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm going to say no guy.
No guy. I'm a no guy, Tap Man.
Well, guy, do you mind if I finish my answer?
Yeah, go ahead, guy.
I just think that the Leafs, I mean, the playing field is leveled for the Leafs now. They're going to be all healthy and ready to go. And I was actually going to ask you if the Stanley Cup drought actually ends for the Leafs with this altered format. And the Raptors are, I wouldn't worry at all about the Raptors. They know what they're doing. They're going to go deep.
Especially not in the first round.
Oh, I would say yes guy or no guy, Mark.
I'm saying no guy. And I'm not even sure if the Columbus series actually equates to a first-round series or not, but I'm still going to say no guy. Jim, you brought up some really good points, and I'm going to steal them. There you go.
Yeah, well, that's new for me.
Yes guy, no guy. Al's brother has lost at least 20 pounds before returning to work. I am a full yes guy on this because I've been talking to him, and I know what his routine is.
Is it the same as Jim's? He's been walking?
Never know. Never know.
Okay. I'd like to say yes guy, but I think it's a no guy. I think he's been feeding and enjoying himself, and he's been trapped in an attic in Niagara, so there's not a lot. Unless he's trying to climb a tree out of the top window there, I don't think he's getting as much exercise as he wants.
I think he's
status quo for me. That's perfect. I love Al's brother.
I'm going to say no guy. I mean, Al's brother on a diet, that's a scary premise. So I don't want to go there. I he's happy when he's feeding. So, no guy.
Have you tried to sneak into the Air Canada Center, Taddy, and steal some of the ice cream sandwiches or what?
Locked up guy.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. First period, no one else in the press gets any ice cream sandwiches because you have 14 of them.
Because they have to work between periods. Come on. Everybody else is pooching out and I got to work.
Come on.
That's true.
I'm going to say I'm worried about Al's brother because the last time I heard him on the show, he was talking about the Indian food that he was eating in Niagara. Yes. And that's not
he
exactly
He also
a
loves
great...
a steak sandwich. He loves a steak sandwich.
I'm going to be supportive and say, yes, guy. So Al's brother, don't make me look bad.
Here's one for you. Yes, guy, no guy. Hayes quits golf after posting a 201 at the National Golf Club of Canada.
Ooh.
No guy. He's not. He's a good golfer. 201 is atrocious. Are you kidding me? That's croquet.
Have you played the National, Jim?
I have played the National at least three times. The first time I played
there? What did you shoot there, Taddy?
It's a true story because there's actual video of this. Years ago when I worked at City TV, we golfed the National, and I chipped in for a 99.
Get out of here.
Chipped in for a 99.
You're honestly you're a joke.
Chipped in for a 99.
Oh, and it's on TV, huh?
I have video, yes.
Really?
Yeah, you probably dropped seven balls and said, no, wait for this one. No, no. I know the routine.
No, you don't. Come on.
Gord Martineau anchored that one? He liked it?
No, it's just John Saunders, who's unfortunately no longer with us, Peter Gross and I. And there's video evidence. Come on. And it's documented.
Jim, you text me the video of you chipping in at the National, I believe you. Until that, it's a load of crap.
It's on beta. I don't think that he's going to be able to send that.
By the way, Tatman, when we first started working together, you said, if this happens, I'll take you out for a round of golf. I'm still... when is this...
I didn't say when, did I?
Well, so I'm just supposed to wait around forever. You're not even a member at that club anymore, you promised me.
It's a sucker born every minute.
Jim, I got a question for you. I got a yes guy, no guy.
Okay.
Yes guy, no guy, you're supportive of the Old Dog being a cat guy.
Oh, yes guy. Yeah, why wouldn't I be?
Okay.
Why wouldn't?
We just found out that he got a cat on the weekend.
Oh, my cat's in my lap right now as we speak.
Is his name Guy?
No, it's a female. Sorry, I couldn't go there.
What did you name her?
It's a nice Italian cat. The cat's name is Bella.
Oh, Bella.
Bella.
Oh, yeah. Nice tat, man. You ever say if she's bad, do you say, like, no girl or?
No, I take my pillow and I throw it. Okay. Cat's always faster than the pillow.
That's true.
All right. Yeah,
especially if she's a real ball of laughs at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
see,
that's
not the
cool,
problem.
5:30 in the morning routine, Tat Man.
Oh, I know. It's disruptive. But, you know, considering what my workload is now, it's not so disruptive.
Right.
We get along fine.
Are you available at the end of July to host some Maple Leaf playoff games?
It's in the works. Yes, I'm all set for that.
Have you started your prep work?
No, Guy.
No.
No, nothing's happened, so I didn't miss anything.
Hey, they're going to play Columbus. Like,
well, and there's a genius statement. Well, what we have to do is shut down the Leafs. No kidding, Guy. No kidding, Guy.
You're taking Nick Foligno's quote there?
Well, it just, you know, it turned into a big headline. It's like, ooh, what a genius. That's, I mean, what else would you do? Of course you have to shut him down. But you know what? I mean, everybody's been off for so long. I mean, talk to the players here, O-Dog and Noodles. How long does it take you to get all that back? I mean, you guys were through work stoppages. This is not something that happens overnight, right?
It doesn't, Jim, but I think 3 weeks is too much. I mean, training camp for a normal season is like 10 days, and they're kind of ready to rock. So why not just 10 days and get back at it? And I think the players to be safe and to be fit enough and ready to go. I don't know. I'm thinking about time. Like, there's more teams. It's like, why? Don't you want to, as much as you want to come back, and it's great to come back, I thought it would want to be wrapped up rather quickly. But there's more teams now, and it's just going to be August 1st. I don't understand that one.
I think they're going to play for 2 months solid, and I think we're going to get 3 games a day, and it'll alternate, you know, let's call it East and West. Even if it's in Edmonton and Vegas, one hub will be deemed the East, and other hub will be deemed a West.
And then what the hell do they do to the finals? What are they doing for that?
Well, they choose one of the hubs. Again, I'm not privy to all of this, but it's, you know, it's more about, you know, buying that time. Oh, I agree. Like, I think we want to snap our fingers and make it happen, and maybe 3 weeks is too long and all that. But this is just so, I think what they're doing is dragging it out on purpose so that, you know, through research, through education, you're hoping that there is a breakthrough, that you're allowing companies to develop more tests and more protocol, the loosening of some of the rules, where you're seeing some of the cities and countries come out of it. You know, by all accounts, Italy was 6 to 8 weeks ahead of us. They're starting to come out of it and loosen things. But you're seeing in other countries, there's a second wave, and that has hit a lot harder. So, again, they're buying time just in case, because, like you said, at the starting of this show, there's no guarantee that they are going to play, but what they're trying to do is give themselves the best opportunity, and that's through maybe cycling through another process of this.
Yeah, that's extremely well said. I think, you know, we all like things to return, but as you go to have them come back, you realize it's not quite that easy. You know, but I will say this from a programming standpoint. If we're talking about August and September and maybe October, I mean, I don't know what everybody has on the programming shelf, but there is going to be a void there. Something happening live would have interest to a lot of people, just because, you know, most of us have binge watched ourselves into the ground. Mm-hmm. And so to have something fresh, and if you do it this way, the NHL and the NBA on alternate nights, going for 2.5 months. That, I mean, that from a programming standpoint, that could make a lot of sense, right?
You would think that ratings would be fantastic, considering what you just laid out there. But also, are we going into bars and watching games in bars and restaurants at that point? Probably
maybe
not.
Maybe you might be at that point.
Maybe. I don't know. But, you know, so if everyone's watching at home in a conventional sense, that's going to drive the numbers up.
Yeah, I mean, it should work that way. But there's the logistics of it is a pandemic, and I don't know. I can't predict how this thing's going to track, that's for sure.
Yeah, wow. I agree.
Well, one thing you can predict, that you are the unofficial mayor of Hamilton, and you're taking care of my hometown, and you don't have to worry about the Barton Street handshake anymore.
Guy, please don't go there. Okay. By the way, I was born here too, so it's actually my hometown.
Well, I called you the unofficial mayor. What else do you want?
I don't want to be the official mayor, believe me.
Okay, you just sit there in your apartment, listen to your vital records with Bella.
It's too bad I don't have a camera on me right now, because here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at four reel-to-reel tape machines. I'm looking at two turntables, two receivers, probably six vintage tube radios, and my newest acquisition is something called the Movie Maker Pro, which will...
Nobody cares, guy. We got to go.
Which will dub 8mm film to digital.
Are you in a television museum right now?
What is this? My office. It's Yes Guy, No Guy headquarters.
Get this guy off the radio. This is a joke.
Catman, it's...
Get lost. You're a loser. Get out of here.
I miss you.
No, you don't. Get lost. Get him off. Hang up, Mullen.
I know. Goodbye.
No Guy.
Thanks, buddy. All right.
No, he's
there's
gone.
What legendary...
What the hell was he just talking about?
Legendary host Jim Taddy.
It's awesome. He just loves the needle.
He's a creepazoid. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know whose segment it is anymore. I waver from day to day. You know, I've lost track.
It's ours.
Okay. Well, if you say it's yours and the listeners believe in you, then it must be yours.
Well, right? Wasn't there a stupid line in that stupid show, Noodles, Seinfeld? You tell a lie, you believe it's a lie, it's a lie or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like if you believe it enough and you tell it's the truth. I think Costanza did that.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
Exactly.
There you go. Dave Pullen, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us after the break as Overdrive continues here on TSN 1050, streaming online and also on TSN 4. Overdrive continuing. Mark Rowe in for Brian Hayes, along with the O-Dog, along with Noodles. We had an interesting conversation with the legend.
Thank God he's off.
Jim Taddy, he was on the show, and he's now off the show. And it's, I guess, made O-Dog. You love him deep down. Come on.
Yes, I love the guy. He's the one, he taught me the ropes and what to... You know, how it all works, and everybody's brutal when they first started this, and he kind of worked with me and took the time to, and I owe him for that always. It wasn't pretty.
Well, no. You started in the studio that I'm in right now. I will say most people are brutal when they start.
I would
say that you were better than most, because I did your audition on television.
Yep. Oh, you and Jamie did my audition with the NHL Network.
And Noodles didn't say anything because you were so good. He was there to support you.
Didn't we do the network one, too?
Yeah. That was the network.
That was the only one I did, yeah. And we started doing those plays of the year or whatever with Duffy.
Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that. The first time you forgot that the camera was on, the jib was floating in. And Duffy was talking, and you didn't realize the jib was for all four of us. You thought it was for you, or for Duffy. And I remember you were, scratching your nose just as the camera came on. And I was like, don't do that.
Mark went to school for this stuff. Well, I had no idea what the hell was going on. If you don't know, you don't know.
Same way, but, Duffy's talking, and he's going to introduce us in a segment. And you thought it was just a single on him, but the jib was coming in, and I thought it was went through the same thing. It's trial by fire. Mark, you're right. You went to school. You have a background on that. With us, it was okay.
Yeah, you're a former hockey player. You can do this or not do it. It's very simple.
Yeah. Well, you guys have been obviously great, and. You know, when I think of Dave Pullen, I think of a guy who is a natural talent the moment that he stood in front of a camera.
That is very correct.
He's also pretty good on radio as well. And he was great on this show last week, and he missed you guys so much. He's back. How are you, Dave?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you? And there's nothing natural about this job. Nothing at all. Nothing. You know, you may look natural on the camera and your feet are going 100 miles an hour underneath that desk, so... Yeah. You know, it was really TSN that broke me, or TH2N that broke me in the late night show. And one of the directors in particular who I was terrified of, I didn't even know who she was, but I was terrified of her. She was so bossy, and she was so great. She
oh, yeah. Look
so
at this
much.
Camera. Look at that camera. I know exactly what you're talking
tremendous.
About.
She
but
so
it's good.
Good
that she's so demanding, and she didn't take any breaks on anybody because of your inexperience.
Exactly
she's like, this is how it's got to go. This is the way it's got to go, and I run the show here, and you got to do it if you're going to be on my show. And that's the best way to do it.
Did you even know who you were talking to at first? Like, I didn't even know who she was. I didn't know where she was. I could just
She's 15 feet away from you, but you had no idea.
Tremendous. She was the one. She was the of everyone that I worked with. She was the single biggest factor really for me, and I was terrified of her.
No. Pooley, we've been talking about getting going here. You being in a management position, how busy would like a team services guy be right now, just with everything up in the air and possible situations? And by the way, the team services guy, for anyone who doesn't know, is booking hotels, it's booking flights, it's booking a lot of stuff, dealing with the individual players. Is that probably the busiest guy in the NHL right now?
Absolutely. Oh, and for the Leafs, it's Brad Lynn, who I worked with closely with the Marlies. And he has probably, I can't even tell you how many different plans he has right now, 10, 12, 14, 16, totally different plans, each one contingent on something else happening. If he's bringing everybody back to Toronto to start with, if they're starting in the U.S., why bring everybody back to Toronto? You'd have another origination point, different hotels, different logistics, who's involved. What is a bubble going to look like? And, these guys are so good at what they do. And it's funny when you describe them all, because it's kind of like when you need something, that's where you start. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what you need, but you need a new fridge. That's where you start. It doesn't matter what you need. He can get it. And those guys are so good at what they do. And it's they travel with the team. They're there all the time. It's not like someone who makes plans at home and then doesn't go with the team. They're there to take the heat when something goes wrong on the road too. So he would have so many different balls that he'd be juggling right now. Oh, and each day trying to get more and more information about how things are shaping up, how many this is going to involve, things like visas. Okay. Are the visas extended from the end of the season? Who do we need to worry about that for? If they include the young man, Nick Robinson, he's an American. Mm-hmm. Does his Canadian visa expire at a certain point from playing with Peterborough? All these crazy things. So he's a very busy man right now.
We were talking about training camp, Pooley. Is 3 weeks too much? Like, I was thinking like 10 days should be enough to fire these guys up. Like you're trying to get this thing done, and I know there's a bunch of different factors, but isn't 3 weeks a little much?
It's too long, It's too long for me, and at almost any stage of my career, and particularly if they're going to get back on the ice on June 6th and don't start till July 10th. So you picture this, and the part I didn't like, and I've spoken to you about it before, is that when they start on June 6th, originally there's no coaches, no instructors, nobody involved. And that's not a social distancing thing, guys. That's someone that's there when they're setting the rules, arguably in the Players Association, who doesn't want coaches involved because maybe they...
Why the hell wouldn't you want... I know coaches are coaches, but wouldn't you want a coach out there to kind of...
Absolutely, oh. Like, who's supposed to run it? You step on the ice with five other guys and say, okay, we're going to be happy for the first day because we're zipping around on the ice shooting pucks and stuff, but...
Three-on-three weave drill.
Exactly. And don't come within 6 feet of each other. Yeah. And I absolutely think from day one there should be an instructor there if he's standing on the bench, whatever. And it makes no sense at all. Mm-hmm. Players want to be told what they have to do, and particularly with how they are with sports science now. Is one of the six groups or one of the groups of six going to go too hard the first day and burn themselves out? And, is their second day going to be, different from their first day? I just think that's a big miss. But if you have a month plus of that and then go into a 3-week training camp, now you're talking 7 or 8 weeks. It's too long. They don't need it. I mean, they simply don't. These are elite athletes. Yes, they've been on for a long time, but there's a ramp up during these smaller group skates that, if done properly, can get you in place where 10 days max for a training camp for me.
I agree. And I think, the format we discussed last week, it's not perfect, but we are going to see some exciting hockey. And, the one thing that we discussed, and I wanted to circle back on it, Pooley, was, the league has, for lack of better words, we're called the luxury of time. And what do I mean by that is to push it a little bit farther. Like, Owen and I were talking earlier, and Mark, were in the 4 o'clock hour of, you know, if you're going to make an announcement and then say, oh, you know, 6 to 8 weeks from now, it gets people excited. And then they realize, oh, that's still 2 months away or more. And O's saying, like, it would have been nice if they, you know, had more of an announcement, mm-hmm. you know, hey, right now, and we're going to be playing 3 weeks from now. They can't do that. But then I look at the league's standpoint, and they say, you know, we want fans starting in January. We want to get things back to normal with somewhat of a timeline. So when you're working backwards from that, it's fine for them to start in August and September and play into October and have 2 months off just because this is such a unique situation. Do you agree with what the league is doing as far as that time frame?
Well, I think they're trying to be first, Jamie. Above all, they're trying to get it out there and be first. Now, they're working, I would believe, in close coordination with the NBA because that makes total sense. But it's so challenging right now to put a timeline on anything. It just is because of the dynamics of how fast things are changing. And, I mean, they're just changing so quickly. And I still think, guys, we've watched now testing is down to, what, 12 hours, and they can get a full result back. I still think between now and 4 weeks from now, we're going to see medical advancements in testing and how we're doing things and hopefully in medicine of some sort. And before we get to an August 1st puck drop for games, you know, now you're talking a couple of full months. And once again, at the rate science is working, you're very hopeful that something gets better in that time. Tracing, tracking, you know, medicine, whatever it may be, that will make all this. I think you can always pull the date up. I don't think they want to get in a position where they have to push it back again. And so when you say time's on their side, set the far date. If you move it up by a couple of weeks, then everybody's even that much more excited.
You think management types are throwing in the odd FaceTime right now, Pooley? See,
yeah,
checking in on the fellas?
Yeah, I think you want to check in. I think you know pretty much, now more than ever, that's left to the trainers and the responsibility on the trainers, you know. And the trainer may go to a manager and say, hey, you might want to give so-and-so a little ring and see how he's doing. And not by phone, by the way, but maybe a FaceTime or a Zoom call or a Skype call so you can get a visual on this guy. But that seems less and less now. It really does. Right. But once again,
there'll be one or two, though, David.
Time. Oh, absolutely there will. There's no question there will. There'll be a couple on every team. And, you know, no question. That just have never had to experience something like this and have never gone this long and have no idea how to handle it.
Joined by RTSN hockey analyst Dave Poulin. And, you know, the guys dismissed this. Darcy Tucker dismissed it. But there's this whole idea that the Columbus Blue Jackets would have an advantage because they have a veteran coach in John Tortorella compared to Sheldon Keefe. And given
who said
the fact,
that, by the way?
Nick Foligno. With Mark Masters on TSN. I think you've
their
heard
one advantage they had, Mark, is if they work Toronto into the ground and Toronto doesn't work, then they'll beat them. That's their advantage.
Well,
that's John Tortorella, though. Well, that's,
right.
You know, can
right.
he get them to do that? You know, I'm really intrigued, and Jamie and I were laughing when I cut Brian Hayes' grass the other night and asked Dwayne Casey a question about coaching in a short-term tournament. And just it was really all about whether a coach is going to have more of an effect, like coach more, coach the exact same, or coach less.
That's a great point.
And you know, how are you going to handle it? And that's where the veteran Torch, you know, is he going to back off at the right time when we think he's going to take total command? Is he going to say no? You know, now he would have been the assistant coach on the 2010 U.S. Olympic team. You know, they've all done world championships, and that's what this is more like. This is more you're coaching for a short-term tournament. And I'm intrigued to watch how much coaching is a factor. And to me, the guys that know their team the best, that understand their team the best, that have been through some things like a Bruce Cassidy, how nice would it be to say to Chara, hey, take the D down to that end, and Bergeron, hey, you take the forwards down to that end and have a little chat with them before we get going here and let them know what we're looking for. Like the luxury of having a team together like that that's won a Stanley Cup, that's been to the finals again, that's been through so many battles, mm-hmm. and they're good. And that's where I think the advantage goes to the coach that figures out how much to do or how little to do at the right time during this.
That's a great, great point.
Where'd that voice come from, anyway?
That was after your
Dwayne Casey.
Yeah,
that
Dwayne
was
Casey.
Funny. That is so funny. Dwayne had no idea where that other voice came from,
but he loved it. He you're gonna be ready for the panel in late July?
I'm ready to go.
I know it's right around the corner.
Tell me we're starting tomorrow. I'm ready to go. You know, with whatever happens here, we don't know at all. But I think everybody is excited to get back to it and see what happens. And it's something so different. You think about, you know, you're always looking on panel points. You know, you go into some, we've had some games where we're sitting there with 2 minutes to go in the period. No one and I are looking at each other like, we don't have one single thing to say here. Like, one thing to say.
0-0
0-0 Shots are 6-3 There have been no special teams. No one's hit anybody. But, you know, in this case, you're going to have a million different directions to go and talking points of individual and all different points to go to. And I think it's going to be, from a broadcaster's standpoint, it's going to be a broadcaster's delight because there's going to be lots to talk about.
I agree. Pooley, you spent all your career in the States as an NHL player?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing what's going on. I think it's closer to home with you because your daughters are in the U.S. right now, are they not?
They are. It's really close to home for me right now, Jamie. I watched it. I was 5:06 p.m. tonight. I flipped over from you guys. I was working out, and 5:06 p.m. tonight, there's a big incident in Philadelphia. It's 2 blocks from where my daughter lives, and 2 blocks, literally. And I could see her apartment in the background and in an old factory that she lives in. And her husband's very, very involved. He works for the Urban Affairs Coalition in Philadelphia. He's a director of external affairs. So they are right, you know, right in the middle of this. And when it hits close to home like that, you know, I have 2 daughters in Chicago also, and CNN opened tonight with 6 cities. And, you know, and it was Washington, Boston, and Philly were 3 of the 6. I played in those 3, and it was Chicago was the 4th. And I played or worked there and lived there. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you can define exact areas and you're watching streets that you know well and you're watching people, you know, that are directly affected, it's much, much closer to home. There's no question about it. And this is about education, guys. You know, and I've watched some of the guys that have made statements, and they have to have done it from learning. And, you know, Blake Wheeler and Anders Lee both had strong statements. Well, they're captains, but they're also from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And they're taking this personally because Minnesota, you've never thought of Minnesota as a racial town. You know, they're not, they've never been one of the 4, you know, the leaders in any of these riots or anything that's gone on or disturbances in the past. And you know, and Zach Smith is an interesting one. Guys, he's from Maple Creek, Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
2,000 people there. I mean, this isn't anything he's dealt with in his life, but it's something he's obviously taken, you know, enough care to learn about. He played in the American League in Bingo, and I think Bingo can be a pretty tough town, not so much in Ottawa, and now he's in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And so taking the time to learn this, and for me, the real eye-opener for me, you know, I'm from Timmins, okay, my first 9 years are there, and it just doesn't exist. You know, it's a small mining town, and it doesn't exist. And then I grew up in the west end of Toronto, and, you know, largely raised by a single father, and it didn't exist in our household. It simply didn't. And then I went to Notre Dame, and my freshman year, guys, I took a class, a very famous sociology professor named Dr. Joe Scott, an African-American, and he called himself Dr. J. And, of course, Julius Erving was at the height of his game there, and this guy called himself Dr. J. And he'd stand up in a class full of predominantly white kids with real privilege and real upper middle class, you know, backgrounds in private schools, and he would just go off, and he'd say, I marched with Martin Luther King, and he was just so fascinating. And I think his class was always one of the hardest classes to get into. I think I took 3 different classes with him, and they were absolutely jam-packed from people that wanted to learn. Mm-hmm. And that was the real eye-opener for me. And, I think I have learned, basically from a non-political family, and most of the locker rooms I was in, and guys, you correct me if yours were different, but we're not really political locker rooms. Like, you weren't talking politics in the locker room very often.
No,
you know, there might have been the odd guy, but you just didn't. You know, we were all thought of as Republicans because we made a lot of money. So we were seen more on the Republican side than the Democrat side. But it's about learning, and for the first time, if you want to tie 2 things together, we're watching this, but it's still from a distance, correct? It's still not, you know, something that's affecting every one of us.
Right.
But it comes on the heels or right amidst of the pandemic, which affected everybody in the world on the exact same platform. For the first time, anything has ever affected the entire world.
Yeah.
No other thing has affected everybody at the exact same time. Didn't matter your socioeconomics, didn't matter your background, your ethnicity, your financial situation. Nobody could go out. Nobody could do anything. And so maybe that's combined with what we're watching is a step that says, okay, we've got to get a more level playing field. Mm-hmm. We've got to learn how to do it. We simply have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A great anecdote that you're sharing with us, Pooley. And we're thankful for that, but mostly we're grateful to hear that your daughters are doing okay and your family's doing great. And, you know, you hope that the world, I know this is maybe idealistic to say this, you hope that people can learn from it. You hope that we come out of this stronger and better. We also need to change history to do that because we have been down this road before, and obviously we have not, you know, been able to get to the result that, you know, society needs to get to.
Yeah, and change comes through education. You have to take it upon yourself to learn. You simply have to.
Yeah. Be well, my friend. Great having you on the show, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, guys. Have a great night. Thanks.
There's Dave Pullen, TSN hockey analyst. And again, you know, as you pointed out, Noodles, a lot of connections to those U.S. cities, has family there, his daughter's there. I can't imagine at 5:06 when he saw that news report and, you know, he can see his daughter's apartment in the background. It's, you know, no parent wants to think that, but, you know, she's okay. And that's the most important thing.
Agreed. It's certainly, I'm sure, unnerving. So we're thinking of her.
Let's take a break. We'll wrap up the show when we return here on Overdrive on TSN 1050, the TSN app, and on TSN 4. Got to say, it feels pretty good to be back in this chair. It's I filled in for Hayes when COVID-19, it felt like that it began in North America, mid-March. Everything was happening. That felt like 4 years ago, and it's great being back with you guys. I appreciate how welcoming you've been over the last 3 hours.
It didn't come without incident, Mark. I'd like to refresh everyone's memory on this little beauty right here.
Okay. When we return, host of FSN1's Speak for Yourself, Marcellus Wiley, wanted to hammer home that, that show that he's a host of.
Yes.
You could not spit out FS1.
No. I wanted to say FSN.
Yeah, isn't that a network or something?
Yeah, the Fox Sports Network.
Yeah, Fox Sports. Yeah, well, there you go.
One more time for good luck.
Okay. When we return, host of FSN1's Speak for Yourself, Marcellus Wiley.
No,
I love it.
Feels good.
Hey.
That's the voice of TSN, brother. That's the voice of TSN.
I don't think TSN wants you saying that right now. So
Yes, they do. The voice of tennis coverage and the voice of Maple Leafs hockey.
That's
right there.
Okay.
Our buddy.
You have a date with a cat tonight, I believe?
Yeah. I tried to get him up, but he's sleeping.
Oh. Well, there's always tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
They're always sleeping. Don't they sleep like 18 hours a day?
I don't know, man.
We're not talking about laziness. Cats are lazy.
Oh, yeah. This thing hides. It's under. Yeah.
I feel like you're going to have like 15 stories for us tomorrow about this cat.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see if he has a
good
night.
Let's hope so. It's been great. Mark Giordano, Darcy Tucker, Marcellus Wiley, Jim Taddy, Dave Pullen. Thanks to all of those. And thanks to you two, Noodles and O-Dog. And, of course, thanks to our listeners and viewers. We'll be back at 4 p.m. tomorrow. Please
chat then.
No. Please listen.
Please listen.